What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We're going to ask Reddit at 7:40 with special participant Eric Chiafalo from the G-Bag Nation here on Sean and Bobby. Choppy is out this week on vacation. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And it is a Documentary Tuesday starting with this.
Yeah, this was Nick Eatman had been previewing this with us at the 920 hit recently, but DallasCowboys.com does their Deep Blue documentary series, which are usually just every offseason. It feels like they have a couple that they do where they just do a deep dive on various topics throughout Cowboys history. And the one they did most recently that they released was The Wall 2.0, which is basically just the career story arc of Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, and Zach Martin. And if you haven't watched it yet, you can check it out on YouTube. It's really, really good. And I thought the visual of Tyron Smith walking in and sitting down, and then Travis Frederick enters the room a little bit later, and then Zach enters the room, and then Travis leaves when his career ends in the timeline. It was a nice visual setup, and I thought a lot of the storytelling was great. This is the most you'll ever hear Tyron Smith talk in this interview.
Yes.
And I thought he was really good. But we're going to play some of the cuts here from this.
Yeah,
the
presentation of who was drafted first,
yeah,
you know, sits down in the middle. Tyron sits down first, and then you get Travis, and then you get Zach, and then they do the same thing with them walking and leaving off.
Yeah, and it matches up with, like, the timeline where they're at in the story. So it's like, all right, we reached Travis's retirement, so Travis is leaving now. And for the rest of the seasons we talk about, it's just Tyron and Zach sitting here. So I thought it was really good. I thought Jason Garrett was really good in this documentary.
Yes.
This is why he could have been so much better a storyteller than he chose to be publicly a lot of times.
Well, he would tell some stories publicly, but it was very, very rare. What Bobby really texted me behind the scenes is, made me miss Jason.
A little did.
Made me miss Garrett.
It did.
You're not going to get Jason talking to the media like that.
No, you're not. It didn't make me miss Jason from that sense. It just made me miss Jason of, like, man, I wish he could have seen it. Like, I wish he could have gotten the reward for what he had done.
And what did he do?
I'm just talking about in terms of, like, the time, the culture, everything else he put in. Like, you can see the players did love him. Like he really did connect with them in a meaningful way.
Yeah. Whatever. He's not going to be this good in his NBC role.
Yeah.
Because it's very short. Jason's got to tell these long form stories because he has great recall. He's got great detail. He's got great delivery. But when you're speaking in 10 second intervals, it's not going to be as good for him.
Right. Yeah. He needs a podcast format to sit down and do a 3-hour interview with somebody about, like, football. And he'd be really good in that. All right. We're going to play some of the cuts from this. And there's a lot of interesting stories that came out of this. This was the first one that popped off to me when Sean had asked last week. He's like, oh, well, you know, what stood out to you about it? The first thing that stood out was, well, I found out Travis Frederick never wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah.
Which was not anything I'd ever heard before. This is Travis Frederick talking about why he wanted to avoid the Cowboys.
Going into the draft, I had a little bit different expectations. It wasn't the place that I dreamed to be at the time. During one of my workouts, Coach Callahan came and worked me out before, and he really grinded me in that workout. Turned to my agent and said, I would give up being a first-round pick as long as I don't have to go to the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
I saw the Cowboys trade down their pick at 18, and that was the sure sell that, you know, they were coming to get me.
I would give up being a first-round pick to not go there, and it sounded, ultimately, it was beneficial, but it sounded like Bill Callahan wore him and them out.
Yeah, and that's Frederick, when he talks about it a little bit as it goes on, you can hear him saying, look, a lot of it was a pain in the ass, or you know, the way he'd do this, it was to call you out specifically, or he'd embarrass you basically in front of the team.
He'd
in meetings.
Show it enough times on tape that's what he was telling you to do, even if he didn't say it.
Yeah, like he tells a story about Nick Mangold's glove, or about how Travis wore a glove in college and Callahan didn't want him to do it. So the first 5 minutes of team meetings were always Nick Mangold snaps where he's not wearing a glove. And they were like, okay, I get it. And eventually he just stopped wearing the glove because of that. So he was basically peer pressured into doing it. Now, the year after Travis Frederick, they obviously picked Zach Martin. I think you were out at the stadium that day doing the coverage, and it was
devastated. Had my Johnny Manziel shirt on. Still have the Johnny Manziel shirt.
Everybody wanted Johnny football at that time. By the way,
Travis came on with us after he was drafted, and he's like, I did not expect to be here. I did not expect to be drafted in the first. And there's Mike Mayock audio in the documentary of him talking about how the Cowboys reached, and he had Travis as a third round grade.
In your face, Mayock. That's why you got fired.
Yeah.
Now, when you listen to this, this is the most detailed explanation I've heard yet of the war room discussion that went into Manziel versus Zach Martin. We all know that the story has been told. Oh, Jerry wanted to run up there with the card, and he would have done it. He was basically held back from it. But we've not heard like some of the details of how it went. This is really good storytelling, I thought, from Will McClay and Jason Garrett as to the decision on that pick.
We probably had 8-9 people grade him, and everybody was 1/100th of a point off. And so that would, you know, that just shows how we all saw him the same way.
We loved him on tape. He was a 4-year starter,
Zach Martin,
at Notre Dame. We loved him in the interview, just everything about him. And a lot like Travis and Tyron, he represented everything that we wanted on our team.
And we were all enamored with Zach Martin.
But Jerry was enamored with Johnny Manziel.
And I remember Jerry telling Steven, you don't make hay, or whatever saying was, picking a guard in the first round.
He thought about the importance of, hey, Tony Romo's our quarterback. Let's think about who's next at that position. It's a really hard position to get guys who can play quarterback for you. And so let's always be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, Steven, He took the bullet for us because Zach was the guy that was, we felt great about. But Jerry was kind of bullheaded on it. And Steven approached him and was like, hey, you know, everybody's on this. And, first round pick, we're going through the whole thing. It was still Johnny and Zach, and we were talking about it, and the time was running very short. And so I whispered, put Zach Martin on the card because that's where we were going. And Jerry heard that through all the commotion, said, I didn't say put. So it was a very harrowing, however many minutes it took.
There's so much there that I think is interesting. You don't make hay by taking a guard in the first round.
Well, his saying that I think he told us was like, you don't lay up.
Yeah.
You got to go for the green, mm-hmm. basically. He gave a golf analogy.
Sexy pick.
And so the fact that they went back to guard now, but to have him say that, and then I think that version of Jerry and the debates that go on within the building happened a lot. Like, I think there have been times they've not done things that Jerry wanted to do because the group was like, Jerry, this is the way we see it. I think, to be honest, Derrick Henry was that. I think Jerry wanted Derrick Henry. I think he did.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And I think he was just told, can't do it. We financially can't do it. And I think that's also why it probably frustrated him so much last year when it would come up. Because it's like, yeah, I agreed. I wanted him. And he just had to stand up there instead and go, yep, buck stops with me.
Yeah.
I ultimately make the decision. But like to hear like Will McClay say, Steven took the bullet for us. And Steven's basically like, all right, I'll shoulder it. I'll go advocate and we'll get this done. And then the note about
Will gets yelled at.
That's so good.
For whispering to the phone, put him on the card.
Yeah.
And Jerry's like, I didn't say that. I didn't finalize that.
Yeah. And so that's funny, but that in all the commotion, like he says, Jerry hears that, goes, no, hold on there. We're not doing that. So that was fascinating detail I hadn't heard before. Next clip here. I know this one had stood out to you, Sean. This was Dak, Jason Garrett, and Ron Leary all talking about how smart of a player Travis Frederick was and how much he was trusted.
Quick story, Jason Garrett, one offseason, gave us notebooks to take notes, and not knowing, Garrett was going to take the books up here in 2 weeks just to see who's been taking notes and to see how well people's notes were. And his point of doing it was, the guys who were making mistakes, I'll be able to go back and say, yeah, you didn't take notes. Well, his whole study was thrown out the window when the smartest guy on the team, Travis Frederick, doesn't write anything down.
And then sometimes you have guys who are exceptions. And Travis is one of the smartest players I've ever coached. And that's not the way he learned. He didn't learn by taking a lot of notes. He learned by listening, and then somehow he just was able to process it all. So that was his style.
I remember plenty of times Romo or Dagger say something, and I hear Travis be like, no, we gonna do this right here. And it's right every time. We trust him 100% up front. So if Travis was gonna override the quarterback, we were gonna go with Travis, because he knew it.
Wow. Ron Leary, that's one of the major things that jumped out to me, saying, no, Romo had, this is the game plan. Romo said we're doing this. And Travis Frederick would correct, speak up, and always be right.
Yeah, and to the point that they were like, all right, we're blowing off what he said. We're going this way. We're doing the protection this way. And that's it's Travis Frederick and Sean Lee being here at the same time. The Cowboys were really lucky and benefited from having their IQ, I think, a lot of times. We saw that in the all or nothing at the end of the season when Sean Lee was having to correct a coach about, no, you got this wrong. I don't stand there.
Travis did this Bobby nerd chart for a card game, or what were they playing?
They were playing cards, and he liked to handwrite the scores, and they were getting annoyed with it. Like, he's like, guys, can I write down the score? Hurry. And so he got so frustrated with how quickly they'd want to move on, he created a spreadsheet where he could just key in a number and it would automatically fill out the rest of the sheet.
Bobby.
A man after my own heart. I loved it. We got time. We can do probably another one here, maybe two. This is the cut that I know, talking to people on the beat and stuff, this was the one that stood out to them, they thought, of just, wow, that was a pretty powerful quote there from Travis Frederick. This is the three of them, Zach, Tyron, and Frederick, talking about Dak coming in for Tony Romo after he got hurt.
But I think you have to look at the perspective of it. Like, we just had a bad year in 15 with our quarterback going down. Our franchise quarterback goes down again. So, I mean, naturally, like, the thought is, like, oh, here we go again. Like,
the difference was you were playing with the older vet, and it was kind of more of where, for me, it was like, I'm a young guy, so it was kind of more, no matter how old I got, playing with Tony, it was just more of, I was just listen and follow. And when Dak came in, it felt like we're all kind of on the same page, kind of all on the same
Really
page.
Romo was like your dad out there.
You know
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Even when at this point your dad, he was the older guy, like, you know, Tony Romo was the quarterback. So he's like, but then, you know, obviously Dak comes in and it's just, again, a guy that's more your age a little bit.
You can relate a little bit.
Yeah, relate a little bit more too.
And so when he came in, it was the energy. It was going, and like, we kind of all could relate a little bit. And, you know, in the games we won, it was just, we just had fun, honestly.
I'd liken it to say that when you played with Tony, you played for Tony and you played with Dak.
Yeah.
Mm. That's a strong quote from Travis Frederick.
Yeah, they were all trying to tiptoe around being respectful to Tony while wanting to, I think, burst at the seams to talk about how exciting and refreshing it was to have the Dak and Zeke energy.
I remember Terrence Williams gave an interview right after the season ended that year. He was at Super Bowl doing Radio Row stuff. And he said, you know, and he'd only played with two quarterbacks in his life. It was Dak and Tony Romo. Because, you know, sometimes you play with some quarterbacks and they can be a little moody, and they make you feel all the pressure. And when you're playing with Dak, it's not that way. Like, you feel free. And that's why the thing that was the hardest for fans to understand, I think, at the time was, talent-wise right now and the way they see the game, there's no way Dak is up to where Romo is. There's just no chance at this point in their careers. And I think the Cowboys felt that way too. I think the Cowboys just looked at it and they were like, we are going to destroy the chemistry. It's going to be deflating to people if Tony just walks back out there and takes the job.
They had also won, like,
10 in a row or whatever it was. Yeah, 10, 11 in a row.
They won 13 games overall. You know, they were on fire.
Yeah.
So it's like, do we want to risk this winning streak? It's an all-time great DFW sports topic. But yeah, they're just sitting there. Edelman said something similar when he said, yeah, Bill was the coach, but we played for Tom.
Yeah.
Edelman said that, burned into my brain. And Travis Frederick saying, yeah, we played for Tony. We played with Dak. So they're talking about the injection of youth. I think Travis called it whimsical and fun.
Yeah,
in fact, be playing with Dak.
In fact, this is them talking a little bit more. This is the last cut we'll play. This is 35. This is them talking about how much freer they played with Dak Prescott.
As a young guy coming in, he respected what we were doing and what we were, you know, how big of a part of it that the offensive line and the running game was. Not to say that Tony didn't respect it, because in fact, he probably respected even more having been through it and seeing it. But as that older guy, like you said, he was laying out the expectations for us. We weren't doing it together. You know, we were able to take advantage of a lot of that expertise, but it was just a different feeling.
These two guys, they came in, they were young, and just, they couldn't be stopped. You know, they had their own energy about them.
He keeps big hole, lock the dog.
I don't know, they just brought a life back to us that we needed after 15. For the most part, it was just having a blast out there. And we had a confidence of going to each game that we were all on the same page going in, that we were going to win.
Oh, look at Tyron out in front. Boom, you're erased.
I don't care what the team was, we were going to win, no matter what.
I think when you have two young guys come in and kind of take the whole league by storm, you feed off that energy too.
It's just like an injection of youth into the team. And also, like, it removed some of the seriousness of it, I guess. I don't know. It became a little bit more whimsical. And it was fun because they didn't know how serious every game was.
Yeah. It's like, it helps that we were winning those years too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we're
it'd be a lot different.
7 and 8, it's like, maybe it was okay, but we were winning. So it's like, man, this is great. I'm doing my job. And this is all I got to focus on.
And there's Zach with the Sean point of, yep, we were winning, guys. Like, that's part of why it was so whimsical.
Part one of our recap, Bobby pulling all the audio, The Wall 2.0. Fantastic, fantastic piece on DallasCowboys.com. Documentary Tuesday continues with the Netflix director of The Gambler.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.